In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is always doing for us those things which will bring not just an immediate pleasure. You know, if we are hungry and someone feeds us, we're thankful. It's an immediate pleasure. If somebody is sick and they are healed, we love them and we hate their sickness, and when we find out that they've recovered, it's an immediate pleasure. When somebody is raised from the dead, it's an immediate pleasure. He's back with us again. When eyes or sight is restored to someone born blind, or when those who are crippled can walk, there's an immediate pleasure. But he's not doing it for the immediate pleasure, because don't you know we're all going to die? He raised Lazarus from the dead, and Lazarus died. Lazarus is not with us. Everyone dies. So he's not doing it for this reason. He came to the feast of the Jews in Jerusalem, and he went to the sheep gate. Now this is where they would wash the sacrifice, the temple sacrifice. I remember when I first learned to baptize in the monastery, which is a strange place to baptize, but that's where we learned. Women who wanted to get pregnant wanted to drink from the water of the baptistry. There was this association. You know, if I drink from this, it's gonna, you know, it's kind of magic and theology all mixed together. Because it's in truth, the baptismal water brought life. It's not going to bring life though in a barren womb. This is the life that is brought to the physical life that is now going to be given a chance at eternity. But they want to drink from this. So there are these people that, because the sacrifices are bathed in this pool, they are around this. And more than that, but once a year, an angel, a mystical creature, an angel would stir the water. And when the water was being stirred, the first one who would get into the pool would be made whole. And so there were people that had all kinds of different things. In the Bible it says there were sick people, blind people, lame people, paralyzed people, and they're all waiting for this thing to happen. And there was a man who had an incredible patience. He waited for most of his lifetime. Now, he didn't come there as a child. He came there as an adult. And when he had been there for 38 years, Jesus met with him. You know, sometimes we're praying something. Sprinkle me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. As though that were going to take place in an instant. Just wash me. Just sprinkle me with hyssop. That's all you have to do. No. There is the action of the Lord which we must first accept. And some of us aren't ready to accept it. Some of us doubt. Some of us doubt. You know, the centurion that the Lord commended said, he said about him, he has a faith that is greater than anyone I've met. Anyone that I've met in Israel. And it was because he said, Lord, I know that if you just speak a word, the one that I love will be healed. You don't have to come into my house. I am a man of authority. I tell people, go here, go there. They do what I say. Because there's a consequence if they don't. I am a centurion. But the Lord, when he responds to this man who has waited 38 years, he finds nothing inside him that is not now pliable or malleable, something that he can mold, right? And the Lord begins a conversation with him that at first it just seems almost cruel. Would you like to be made whole? The man wasn't sarcastic in his reply. He didn't say, "Are you nuts?" Of course I want to. I've been here 38 years. What kind of a question is that to ask me? But he said, no. The man said, I'm waiting. I'm still waiting. But I have no one to help me. I need an intercessor. I need someone to take up my cause. Because when I'm trying to get into the pool, and remember, this is a man who has been on a bed for 38 years. Look, you all know something. You all know something about medicine because you've seen so many people get sick in your life. When you lay in bed for a very long time, all the tendons in your body shorten. All of them. They all shorten. It's hard for a person who has been in a coma for a long time to suddenly wake up and then find that he has this kind of natural flexibility that we all enjoy. No, he's stiff as a board. He can barely articulate any movement that he used to without considerable stress. So this man is saying, I have only hope left. Do you know how broken you have to be to say, I only have hope left? That's all I have left. No, most of us, to the very end, we're gonna start to try to think about some strategy to extricate ourselves from the situation that we don't like. I'm gonna figure this thing out. I'm gonna get out of this. I'll say help. I'll say, look, if a medicine man from an Indian tribe would come and wave an eagle feather over my head while blowing smoke from a peace pipe in my face, and it had the desired effect, bring the Indian shaman, the medicine man, bring him. I'm desperate. But when you have gone through all of that, thinking about what, did he have any money? Did he have any, who fed him? Somebody had to bring him food. Why didn't the person who fed him, why didn't that person stay with him to push him in the water? Well, he couldn't, he was working, he had probably a family. And think of his bedclothes. How long can you be on sheets or some kind of material, whatever it was, even if it's, we're talking about lamb's wool, before it deteriorates? Before just the movement of your body just causes the thing just to completely deteriorate. 38 years. And he was laying on stone. So Jesus looks at him and sees that there is just left within him hope. I'm a gambler. I don't know about you. I gamble all the time. I make bets with myself. I think I can do this. I think I'm going to be able to do this. I think I'll be able to, to cause this certain thing that I wish to happen to really take place. I bet with myself all the time. I'm not talking about people that are gambling in the other fashion that is more commonly known. But I gamble with myself. I think I can do this, I think I can do that. And then I try my hardest. All of this had left him, all of this. He was just laying there in expectation, and as I said, hope. Jesus looked at him and said, without any further introduction, he said, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Now, do you understand how much that man hated that bed? You have any idea how much he hated that bed? How much he would like to have gone outside and just smashed it? Or found the nearest fire and fed that bed into the fire? I'm done with you. We are no longer together as we once were. I am finished. I have been healed. And of course, here come the Jews. Here come the Jews. What are you doing carrying that bed? What are you doing? It's the Sabbath, don't you know that? You're not supposed to carry. The Jews have it figured out until this day. Until this day, if you go to Jerusalem in certain places, the ultra-Orthodox will get you if you're carrying more than 2 ounces. I think you're allowed to carry like 2 ounces, which is like a key fob or something like that. That's it. More than that, you can have stones thrown at you by the children. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. But the man who had been healed said, "He who made me well said, take up my bed and walk." Who else are you going to obey after something like that? Think about that. Who else? Okay, so now let's get to us. You've all been baptized. All of you have been baptized. You have been saved. You have been saved from a most miserable situation. But do you listen to the voice of Jesus with the particular nature of this person? Because when he took up his bed and walked, where did he go? He went into the temple. He went to pray. I look today at the church and it saddens me because I see so many people that are not in church. Now, maybe they're in another church, and if that's the case, good. But when you don't go to church for some other reason, it is though you have said to Jesus Christ, "Thank you for the gift, but you know, what have you done for me lately? Thank you for the gift. You've given me the gift of eternal life. You've paid with it, with your own blood. You've suffered on the cross. The indignations that you took upon yourself for my sake. That was good. That was fine. Thank you. But that was a long time ago. I don't even remember when I was baptized. I was a baby. Me, I remember when I was baptized. I was an adult. But I'm saying this to you, that when you have a chance to do one thing or another, make certain that like this man who was paralyzed for 38 years, he knew exactly what had put him in his condition, and he knew the antidote to it. Where did Jesus find him when he went looking for him? In the temple. And Jesus said expressly to him, "You know, and I know too, the reason why you were infirm for 38 years. It was sin." We don't know what kind of sin it was, but it was sin. And so the Lord said to him, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Worse than 38 years of paralysis? What was Jesus thinking of? 38 years? No. The guy's 38 years old. He had to have been an adult. He had to have sinned as an adult because children get a pass until they're 12. And then even after the age of 12 or 13, they're growing and the things that they do, parents a lot of times share the liability for. And but when you're an adult, I'm trying to get you to think about how old this guy must have been. He must have been around 60 years of age. What's the worst thing going to happen? You see, when we come, and by the way, pray for me, because tonight I go to my father of confession and I confess. My appointment's at 8 o'clock. I have to go to Highland Park from Whittier to confess. When you confess, you are making a firm statement of intent. I'm not going to do this anymore. The things that I did that God did not want me to do, the things that put me in jeopardy of losing my eternal life, all of those things I committed with no one else being responsible. I'm not blaming one other person. It's not because of my lousy this or my lousy that or the other things that surround me. As the comedian used to say, the devil made me do it. No, the devil does not make me do it. I do it on my own. When I sin with the same intent as when I speak the truth. It's coming out of the fullness of my passion. It's just that my passion in that moment is misdirected and is sinful. And in that moment, which the pleasure of that moment is so short. What kind of pleasure do you think this man had? I'm imagining he started to sin from the time he was about 18 to 22, okay? And then add 38 years to that, that makes him 60. The pleasure that he had between 18 and 22, do you think it compensated him in some way that he would reflect upon it in his memory and say, well, yeah, I've been here for 38 years, but boy, that was really a lot of fun, you know, four decades ago. No, not at all. It's not even going to be 40 days. 40 days. Think of Christmas presents you kids get. They're really fun to play with for a while, but then they get old really fast. Really fast they get old. So, the Lord met with him in the temple, and then he who was healed left the temple himself, and he told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. And oh, they hated Jesus because, although they could blame him for nothing. Do you know that on the Sabbath, if a man needs to be circumcised, the priest will circumcise the man? Do you realize that if there's going to be an offering for sin on the altar of the temple, and it's on the Sabbath, the priest will do that as well. So when it says, don't work on the Sabbath, the priests may still be working. Plus, it's well known that if any man has an animal that falls into a pit, even on the Sabbath, he will pull the animal out of the pit. And everyone knows that. Everyone. But they had nothing to say. Except you're the one who's responsible for telling that man to carry his bed. You know why? If you now imagine that the bed that you are lying on, that you can carry it, and it's like an air mattress, so it's really light, right? And you're walking down the street with an air mattress, and people are going, well, you know, I've heard about people that have narcolepsy and suddenly fall to sleep. Maybe this person is one of those, and if they fall, you know, they want to fall right into a nice comfortable bed instead of the concrete. What would you think? You see somebody, you know, is there a pool around here? Is he taking this inflatable thing to the pool? What is the reason for this air mattress? It wasn't an air mattress. It was like a piece of plywood. That's what it was. It was a pallet on which you would put something that would be like an animal skin, and then another animal skin to cover yourself in the cold. But Jesus was brought into, again, their court of justice, and he was found once again failing. This is the justice of the Jews. But then Jesus said to them something that was even more infuriating. He said, I am working, and my father is working until now. People say, well, wait a minute, what does it say in the Bible? Didn't it say that after 6 days he rested? That God rested from his work? Yes. What does it mean? He suspended the rest of creative activity. But what is it that you think that keeps everything that we have in balance, creates an atmosphere that does not leave the planet? You know, we have exactly the same amount of water to the drop that when God created it. There's not one bit of water that's missing. It might be a gas, it might be a solid, it might be liquid, but every bit of water is exactly the same today as it was. Do we have more ice today? Maybe. Do we have global warming today? Less ice, more water. But when the Lord God Almighty stopped creating, he didn't stop all of the rhythm of the cosmos and of our world. We live in a closed system. This is not a system where you can just add things to. No, it is a closed system. All that can be here will ever be here. And making himself equal to God, I want you to think just for a moment about the three people that he healed. That's a wrong choice of words. The three people that he raised from the dead. There was a little girl, Tabitha. There was the man who was the son of the widow of Nain. And then there is Lazarus. Think about the way in which the Lord caused life to return. He went upstairs and sat privately in the room with Tabitha. He touched the bier of the man who was being brought out to his mother. And with Lazarus, he just issued one word, meaning, or one speech, come forth, come forth. This man, he did the same. Look at the other things that he did. One man, he makes clay with the ground and his saliva. Somebody else, he does something else too. Go wash over here and this pool. Go. But with this man, what did he do? Arise, take up your bed and walk. Right? There are some of us here that need the touch of the Lord. We need that touch. There are some of us, however, just need to be commanded to do the things that we know that we should be doing all along, and to start doing them. Arise. Tentheno. Arise. And if this has meaning for you as it does for me, you will hasten to make an appointment for confession. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.